Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Pari Vajakacharya, Asatara Sata Sri Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Ananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shamasundar Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Sri Mati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyacha Desatarane. So today I was chose to speak on Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, verse number 48. Yes, 48. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Aginati Medandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksur Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. And it was really, really dark. And my eyes were really tightly shut. And I didn't see anything in proportionate reality as it was. But Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, and I beg for service at his lotus feet life after life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're going to read, yes, 48, text 48, and then I'll give you the context of it after we'll chant the verse relatively quickly. Yogasta kuru karmani.
Yogasta kuru karmani.
Yogasta kuru karmani.
Yogasta kuru karmani.
Sangam tyaktva dananjaya.
Sangam tyaktva dananjaya.
Sangam tyaktva dananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva.
Siddhya
Siddhyo
Samo
Bhutva. Samatvam Yoga Uchite.
Yogasta Kuru
Karmani. Sangam Chaktva Dananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Samatvam Yoga Uchite. So we could have three people chant the verse. Who'd like to chant? Go right ahead.
Yogasta Kuru Karmani.
Sangam Tyaktva Dananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Samadvam Yoga Uchite. Very nice, thank you. Someone else?
Yogasta Kuru Karmani.
Sangam Chaktva Dananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Samadvam Yoga Uchite.
Yogasta Kuru Karmani.
One more question. Thanks. Thank you. Yoga star, equipoised, kuru, perform, karmani, your duties, sangam, attachment, chvaktva, giving up, dananjaya, O Arjuna, siddhi asiddhyo, in success or failure. Siddhya asiddhyo, in success or failure. Siddhya asiddhyo, in success or failure. Sama, equal. Bhutva, becoming. Samatvam, equanimity. Yoga, yoga. Uchite, is called. So Prabhupada's translation and his purport, perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Very easy verse to say, right, Krishna Kripa Prabhu? It's easy to say, it's somewhat easy to memorize, but we're going to talk about trying to do the application of that, okay? Is anyone here that can say that they feel equipoised if they succeed or if they fail? Good, then we have a lot to discuss. Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna tells Arjuna that he should act in yoga. And what is that yoga? Yoga means to concentrate the mind on the Supreme by controlling the ever-disturbing senses. And who is the Supreme? The Supreme is the Lord. And because he himself is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna has nothing to do with the results of the fight. Gain or victory are Krishna's concern. Arjuna is simply advised to act according to the dictation of Krishna. The following of Krishna's dictation is real yoga, and this is practiced in the process called Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness only can one give up the sense of proprietorship. Thank you. One has to become the servant of Krishna or the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is the right way to discharge duty in Krishna consciousness, which alone can help one to act in yoga. Arjuna is a Kshatriya, and as such, he is participating in the Varnashram Dharma institution. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that the Varnashram Dharma, the whole aim is to satisfy Krishna. No one should satisfy himself, as is the rule in the material world, but one should satisfy Krishna. So unless one satisfies Krishna, one cannot correctly observe the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Indirectly, Arjuna was advised to act as Krishna told him. So the verse once more, perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. So this is a theme that Krishna says in various places throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Stay equipoised. Don't be overly joyful in happy situation. Don't be overly depressed or whatever in trying situations. And again, as we say it, it's one of those things, yeah, easy to say. But then when those things come in life, which they have a tendency to do all the time, the application of it is not easy, you know. So I'm going to try to speak on a general way to apply that principle. It's not like the hard and fast rules, and it's not the only way to apply it, but hopefully it'll give us some tips on how to apply staying equipoised in success or failure or hard times or easy times or whatever. So again, Krishna says it in various places. In the fourth chapter, he says it also. In 22nd verse, he says, he who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, and who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success or failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Sometimes when, if a person is making a huge endeavor, or, you know, a strong endeavor, you could say, for a particular aim, whether it's studies or this or that, or something in devotional service, a project, and the results don't come as expected or as hopefully, then sometimes the default position is, okay, I give up. I'm not doing anything. I tried. It didn't work. No one liked it. I'm out of here. But that's not what there's here in that verse in the fourth chapter, who's steady both in success and failure is never entangled, although what? Performing. He's still trying to do his duties. Also, Krishna says in the 13th chapter, in that verse 8 through 12 in the 13th chapter where he lists all the different items of knowledge, he starts off saying humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, and then he says, even-mindedness amidst pleasant and unpleasant events. He mentions it there. Then again in the 18th chapter, he says, text 26, one who performs his duty without association with the modes of nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. So this theme of staying equipoise and staying determined, even though things might not turn out as planned, is given in deeper and deeper detail as the Bhagavad Gita progresses. So here we are, second chapter. Second chapter, as you all well know, is the whole summary of the Gita. So it's just, he's just mentioning it in this verse, and then he's going to go on to other, Krishna's going on to other points that he's making. Later on, he develops the points. So how is it that we judge what's successful and what's failed? How is it that we can not just judge what's successful or failed? That's another topic, sorry. Take that out. How is it that we can tolerate failure? It would help if we have a different perspective of what failure is. That would help. So Krishna gives us, in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains, failure is not final. It's not the end of the road. It's just a bump in the road. Excuse me. Failure is, and he also explains, failure is not bad. And then, further on, he explains, failure is not possible. So let's look at those categories So we'll look at those categories and see how we can develop try to develop an attitude of equanimity, even when it's a tough time, even when it's a challenging time, even when it appears that the roof is caving in. Okay, so there was once a book distribution seminar a long time ago, and the person who was presenting the book distribution seminar was saying, what you have to do, one of the first primary things that you have to learn to do on book distribution is to learn how to take a no in style, you know, because anyone who does it gets a lot of no's. Here's a book, no. And then somebody, even just the other day, Himavati was telling me she was having a trying day at distributing books, and then one person came by, and that person was particularly anxious and interested, and it made the whole day. But had those people who, before that one person came, all those other people that said, no, don't talk to me, it's cold, it's this or that, had that discouraged her or whomever to a point where she said, okay, I'm finished, she would never have met that one person. So anyway, the person who's given the seminar was saying, you have to learn how to take no with a style. With style. Here's a book, no. Here, excuse me, no. Here, you want this? No. And then you can say, no problem, Hare Krishna. You know, learn to take a no with in style. So what happens is that unless we're connected to Krishna, understanding, especially in the opportunity that we get to do devotional service in whatever field or whatever it is, when there are difficulties or impediments or this or that, we need to connect with Krishna. Krishna's the supreme controller. We're not the supreme controller. What are we in charge of? What are we in control of? Our endeavor, our intention, and our actions. Well, that's on good days, we're in control of those things. But anyway, they're within our control if we utilize our control properly. But oftentimes we make decisions based on the fear of failure because we think of what's everyone going to think or what's this or what the result is or that. But there was the one, you know, sometimes you see those life coaching quotes sometimes come across your screen. So there's one quote from Nelson Mandela. And he said, make your decisions in life. May your decisions in life reflect your dreams, not your fears. So if we make our decisions based on our dreams or our desire or in applying it to devotional service, in a desire to please Krishna, we make our endeavor with a desire to please Krishna, then just as Arjuna's position here in the Gita, although he was putting forth various arguments as to why he thought this was unpleasant and he didn't want to fight in the beginning, Krishna saying, do your duty, do what you're supposed to do, and success or failure is dependent on the Lord. You don't have anything to do with that. It takes away so much of that emotional baggage, doesn't it? You know, that gives one a little ray of hope so that one can continue on. Just my endeavor, if it can please Krishna, then even though it might appear to be a failure, externally appear to be a failure, internally, it's a success. Because that's our position, totally dependent on Krishna. And our illusion is, I, me, and mine, it's all my endeavor, it's, you know, by my strength or this or that or whatever, I'm going to arrange things. But actually, it's all dependent on Krishna, every single thing. And we forget that oftentimes. So, that those three topics, that the three aspects, failure is not final. So, Krishna explains to Arjuna that whatever you are, wherever you are in life, you never reach a dead end because we always have free will to choose to take the next step. How are we going to take the next step? And we always have a power to make more decisions. Now take an example of from Srimad Bhagavatam, okay? Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, if you're familiar with those personalities. Nali Kuvera and Mani Griva were the sons of Kuvera, demigod who's the treasurer of heaven. So in one sense, a success, right? They're in a very successful position, high birth, opulence, wealth, like so many things, and access to so much sense gratification. But when who came by? Lord Narada? Narada, thanks. Almost thought it was Lord Shiva. When Narada came by and they were, you know, in the water, blah, 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 not appropriately dressed at all, and no one did any, those two boys didn't do anything about it, then Narada gives them a curse. So now if we take our little karma camera, you all have your phone camera, right? But if you have your karma camera and you take a picture there when Narada Muni curses them, you can say, failure, they got cursed. And they got cursed to stand as tree, failure. Was that the end? No. Because they got cursed to stand as trees and they were in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. Big, huge Arjuna trees, huge. They were huge, bigger than our oak trees. Our oak trees look like toothpicks compared to those Arjuna trees. And there for hundreds of years. But obviously the benediction was they got to see the pastimes of Krishna. And when Krishna pulled the trees down and they came out and offered their prayers, they offered prayers to Krishna that said, please let us always glorify you from now on. So you could take your karma camera out and say, and don't take the picture yet. No, they said, please let us glorify you from now on. Let everything that we say be glorifying your activities. And then they said, but now we need to leave and go back to the heavenly planets because we know we don't belong here. So now you could take your karma camera out and say, they left Goloka Vrindavan and they went to the heavenly planets. That was like not, it was dumb, you know? But is that the end of the road? No, because then when we read further, when we read in Gopal Champu by Srila Jiva Goswami, there's two bards that come to recite Krishna's pastimes in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard again. And they're reciting these pastimes as if they were personally present and as if they could understand everything that everyone was thinking of, similar to Valmiki Muni, who could understand everything in the Ramayana and he could explain things, what they were thinking, even though he wasn't present. It was as if he was present. So then it was revealed that Nala Kuvara and Manigriva had taken birth in Vrindavan and were trained as reciters of Krishna's pastimes. So it just kind of shows the progression of things. At one point, it looks like a failure. At another point, it looks like a bad choice. And another point, you can see it from another overview and see how successful they were. So that's the point. Failure is not final. Of course, in the moment of the calamity, things are heavy. You know, no. It's not that you don't have any feelings or this or that or any, you know, upsets or whatever. They're there. The feelings are there. But don't judge it in the moment. Look for, does this sound like Pollyanna? You guys don't even know Pollyanna. But look for the good in the situation. What is this situation bringing about to teach me? Or how can I improve from here? Okay, this didn't come out the way I wanted it or whatever. It's not pleasant or giving me peace and happiness. But let's see what I can learn from it. So take the example of studying for exams. You know anybody who studies for exam these days? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so studying. So you make your endeavor, right? You know your exam is coming on such and such a day, and you make your endeavor, and you da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the exam comes, and you don't do so well, let's say. And it's a disappointment, right? It's a real disappointment. And you might think, oh, Krishna's unkind, or whatever you might think, a person might think, you know. But actually, the results of the test might not have been in the level that you wanted, but what was the result of your endeavor for studying? You got more discipline, you got more control of your time, and you learned what you learned. So there was, and that lesson of character building, you can apply it to your next situation, another circumstance. So there's gain. There is gain. And you might want to change your career too. But anyway, aside from that, you know, there's still gain from the circumstance, okay? So, important, one thing that's important is the motivation. If our motivation is, oh, I wanted to pass that test so I could be, you know, the number one this or that or whatever, and then everyone could say, oh, you're so smart, or oh, you're going to get a really good job, or blah, 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 that might, you know, you might want to tweak that motivation a little bit. Let me make this endeavor so that I can, you know, use what I'm learning in devotional service somehow or other or something. But make your endeavor anyway. So another point that Krishna makes is that failure is not bad. That's our conception is that failure is bad, but Krishna doesn't have that conception, because if it has, it actually, if a circumstance where it's particularly trying, it still gives us growth, and shows us what we can become wise from. For example, here's another mundane example, but it's an interesting one. When Einstein was working on his light bulbs, you know. It wasn't that his light bulbs lit up the very first time he put his wires together. In fact, if you look at his history, his light bulb history, he tried 1,000 times, you know, thousands of different ways to get that electric current to light up the light bulb. And so you could say, or people did say, but how discouraging was that? And he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I learned 1,000 ways not to do it. And just see how that change of perspective changes the whole outlook and your ability to continue on, and his ability, and we're very grateful that he continued on, right? You know? So it's just a question of some, and that's why Sangha, the Sangha of devotees in this regard, is very important. Because when someone is having a challenging time, there's always somebody who's not so challenged or enthusiastic about something. So that enthusiasm can pull you up out of those things and help change the perspective. The situation didn't change. You failed your test, or your light bulb didn't light up, or whatever. But you still have the strength and the determination and the desire to continue on. Similarly, in devotional service, how about this? Every day we get the opportunity to chant our rounds. Is every day is every day your rounds chanted with the most attentive devotional mood? Is every day some of your rounds chanted with the most attention and devotional mood? For me, not even sometimes, not even so many rounds. Maybe even a mantra. Okay, I'm going to chant this mantra really good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, look at that. There's juice there. I didn't see that. You know what I mean? But if we'd say, okay, I had another 1,000 years of trying to chant my japa nicely, but I'm still going to try again because I want to do that and to try to please Krishna. That'll just help boost us. So if our, again, with that, under the idea of failure is not bad, if we become successful, let's just say that wonderful student who was studying their exams aced the test and got the highest mark in the whole school. And then what? Becomes proud of that. Then that success becomes a failure in that sense, because that pride will tinge all their relationships and tinge everything, their whole outlook. So in that sense, you could say it was a failure. But let's say the person who studied and failed and who made a huge attempt and still didn't get a great mark. If that makes them humble, then it's successful. Because if you've noticed, the ego is always willing to boost you to a position that we don't quite deserve. We don't quite merit. The ego is unlimitedly potent to think of all these ways. Well, I couldn't chant my rounds very nicely, and I didn't do that very nicely, and I didn't do that, but I'm still the best of da-da-da-da-da, whatever. So anyway, so if a failure makes one more determined to try harder, then it's a success. Then there's an aspect of success there, and if success makes you self-centered, thinking that you did it, that you were the doer, that by your endeavor you aced the test or whatever. I'm just picking on that one example, but then it's a misconception, because what are the factors in every action? There's the endeavor, there's the time, there's the place, there's the senses, but ultimately there's the Lord. And somehow or other, it has a tendency to be the first thing that we forget. that ultimately everything's under the control of the Supreme Lord. And ultimately the Supreme Lord might be controlling things, and it might appear that we're tested or have trials or tribulations or whatever. It might appear that, but he's doing it for our own growth, for our own good, for our own advancement, so that we can build up the, or gather necessary qualifications to make it through the whole journey of life and the whole journey in bhakti yoga. So one lesson would be in a stressful situation that appears like a failure or whatever, don't judge it in the moment. That was what we learned from Nalakuva and Manigriva. Don't judge it in the moment. There is a progression. There's more opportunity that's coming down the road. Just like one time someone was giving an example, driving lessons, right? So you take your driving lesson, you're taking a left turn, and you turn the wheel, right? So who has ever experienced turning the wheel one time to make a left turn? Oops, go that way. You don't drive with me. One time, and that's all you do. No, you're always making adjustments. You turn the wheel and you adjust. That's what life is. So we're always making adjustments. What are our, as devotees, what are our adjustments based on? They're based on how to please Krishna. And so trying to apply the different lessons that in the Gita and Bhagavatam into our life and going on. Because Krishna says that failure is actually impossible. So who knows a verse besides Pran Govinda? Besides Pran Govinda Prabhu? Just this one time. In the Gita, where Krishna says success is, failure is not possible in relation to devotional service. Okay, Vig. A little of, in every endeavor that you make in devotional service, thank you. In every endeavor that you make in devotional service, every endeavor, there's a green tick, a green tick next to your name. Every endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. There's no loss. It, and the verse that we chant for the Bhagavatam. What would you like to say? Trayate mahato bayat. Yeah, all of those there are saying that point. Yeah, even a little advanced. But I was going to say from the Bhagavatam verse. That verse that I say all the time. I even forget what I'm going to quote. Hold on. Oh, it's devotional service is established as an irrevocable fact. Whatever progress that you make by serving the devotees and hearing the Bhagavatam, whatever progress that we make by chanting our rounds, whatever, it never is, it's never lost. So, our tendency is to view the results externally, but we need to try and practice to view the results internally and seen by the spirit soul. How did we benefit from that by executing or trying to execute devotional service? So endeavor and intention are what we can offer. Our endeavor and our intention and our actions we can offer to the Lord. And if those are all in line with pure devotional service, then whatever the outcome might be, then we get a positive result. So there's two other examples of personalities. Just like you can think of Queen Kunti or even the trials of the Pandavas. There they were, very close, very intimate associates of the Supreme Lord, and still their life was fraught with not just little problems, but huge, huge, huge difficulties, huge challenges to overcome. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he says, This is why many people don't want to worship Krishna, because of the Pandava's example of being tried and having so many trials in their life. Better worship some other demigod who's easily pleased and will give me the benedictions quite quickly. But what was Queen Kunti's attitude at the end of all, not in the middle of all her trials? Her attitude was, please let these calamities come again and again. Because when they come, it makes me think of you. And therefore, those calamities, those failures or whatever, they're very successful for me. They make me think of you. And I'm sure you've experienced at different times in your life when the pressure's really on and you're really praying to Krishna to help you, it's the most Krishna conscious you've ever been, during those hard times. In fact, it was, I believe it was Tribhuvanath Prabhu passed away, who knows, a couple of decades ago, at least one anyway. At one particular point, he was arrested and he was doing sankirtan in a place, I don't even remember, Krishna Kripa Prabhu, by any chance, do you remember this story? Okay, anyway. He was doing some Harinam in let's just say, a Muslim country or something, an Islamic country where they were, Tehran? Thank you. And there was a war, it wasn't just, there was a war going on at the same time. So he was arrested, thrown into jail, put in solitary confinement, and all day long he could hear gunshots and people screaming that they had been, shot, by the army or whatever. And somehow or other, and I'm sorry, but I don't remember how he got out, but he got out. But when he was remembering it, he said to his friend, that was the most Krishna conscious that I ever been in my whole life, because of that intensity of that situation. And then we can also think of Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada's endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness. When he met up with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj and he accepted him as his spiritual master, he, at that particular point of his life, he was a householder, he has had a growing family, etc., etc. He was thinking how he could execute Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's order, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, the very first second he saw him, he said, preach in English, it'll be good for you and it'll be good for those that hear it. And so Prabhupada, tried so many ways. He thought he'd do his business, and from his business he'd get some money, and from his money he would support the Gaudiya Math and this and that. And he did, and he did that, and he did that, and he went to this place, and he went to that place, and he started here, and he started there. And nothing was a fantastic success. But he was equiposed in success or failure because he was satisfied that he was making his endeavor, his intentions were good, his actions were in compliance with that, and the results were up to Krishna. So he was able to continue on and not be discouraged and say, okay, forget it, thank Krishna. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. And then you're all familiar, but anyway, even his endeavor to come to the States, it was so trying. There was so many blockages in the way and so much red tape that he had to go through and et cetera, et cetera. But still, he persevered. So these are like shining examples that we can take from the scripture, and there's, for certain, there are others. But it's trying to process that understanding of how to stay equiposed in success or failure by looking at the lives, the practical application that the devotees put in their life to come out successful and not be discouraged. And ultimately, some reached great heights of success and some didn't. But it was still success because of the endeavor in bhakti. So I'll stop here and see if you have some discussion or questions or examples or whatever that you'd like to add. That'll be fine.
Anyone?
Wait, the mic is dancing its way over.
Thank you for a wonderful class, and it's agreeable. I guess one thing that can be
said. Hold it closer, because.
Sure.
Yeah.
One thing that can be said, and probably relatable, that, how can we convert the jnana knowledge? in Bhagavad Gita, how can we convert it in here? It becomes second
convert.
Nature.
Okay, at first I thought, I heard pervert, and then I thought, no, I'm perverted. Okay, convert the practice.
Convert, yeah, convert. Convert
how can we get the theoretical knowledge to realize
knowledge?
Yeah, become
second nature.
Yeah, because practice. There's no other way, And association, association with devotees to help us see things. That's why we get so much benefit when you reveal your mind and confidence to someone and they give you a different perspective on the point that you haven't been thinking about. They show you a different perspective. Oh, now this is mercy here or that there. So, and it's practice. I don't have any other. Does anyone else have? There's a few people. It's actually not surprising that it takes practice. Just like if you want to be a Madanga player, how do you do it? Practice. Anything. Tennis player, this, that, sorry.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class, I enjoyed it. So my question is, you said there is no loss in the devotional service. What about aparat?
Technically speaking, you're very, very correct. Technically speaking, when there's aparat, there is a reaction. But the nuance is that the reaction for an aparad means offense, in case you're not familiar with that Sanskrit term. Aparad means offense. When there's an offense committed in devotional service, there's a reaction. But the reaction from the aparad is temporary. Just like, now take the example again of Nalakuva and Manigriva. So they made an offense, they were cursed, but that curse had a duration of time, and then they proceeded on. So there is a temporary result.
It's like time setback.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Interesting, too, if I could add, too, Nectar of Devotion explains the results of aparad in a very interesting way, too, because let's say someone is habitually, whatever, makes a lot of aparads, whatever, then what happens is that the taste for devotional service wanes. It lessens. The taste that we have, the enthusiasm that we have for devotional service lessens. So that person is thinking, oh, yeah, I don't like it here. I'm going. And they think that this is my choice. I'm leaving. But it's actually sometimes, not all the times, the results of the aparad, that the taste is taken away, and then you think that it's your decision, but you're being scooted around for a while. Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah, so in times of, like, high distress, like, you're, after, like, a failure, like, you're very much, like, distraught from that. How do you go back to remaining neutral in that? In that high emotional state?
Right. So that's why I was recommending, don't judge it in the moment. Give yourself time. So there's a trying circumstance that just happened. Don't think that in, 12 more minutes you're going to be equipoised, Perhaps you could be, But give yourself time. And what would be the recommended procedure? Take a break. Try to chant your rounds. Try to hear some more from the scriptures. Try to, eat prasadam, continue on with the process of sadhana, and know for certain that Krishna, whatever circumstance you're in, Krishna's on your side. He's not doing it to push you down. He's doing it, he's not doing it to us to push us down, but he's doing it to us to teach us a lesson, maybe rectify an errant mentality that we have or whatever. Or perhaps another thing is that we're used to looking out at the world through our little eyeballs, and so everything's centered around us from here on out. But what did we do in our previous lives that got us to this point or whatever? There's lots of activities that we've done that, yes, one comes in into the process of bhakti yoga, all the reactions of one's past sins are nullified, but not necessarily zero, not down to zero. They're still remnants of that and becomes custom karma, customized, personalized karma. Just like you could say, I remember having this experience because I used to work in the kitchen a lot many decades back. And especially on a codicil, we'd always tell everybody, be really careful you don't get a cut. Because somehow or other, codices and cutting fingers or whatever would coincide a lot in kitchens. And sometimes, you know, did you remember that Mukhi made that announcement about the seminar that's coming up soon, what not to say to a grieving devotee? So I can tell you what not to say to someone who just cut their finger in the kitchen cutting the vegetables. You could say, well, it's your karma, Prabhu. You were supposed to get your hand cut off, but you just got a little nick. That was Krishna's kindness. So it's totally true, but it's sometimes in the moment not appreciated. But anyway, so give yourself breathing space. Give yourself good association. That's really important. Good association is really important. And patience. That's what Rupa Goswami says. Patience, determination, you know, enthusiasm, they're the pillars of success. Vegavati Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Most of what I would have said has already been said, but when I thought of one example that appears to be failure externally, but isn't at all, is Kolavecha Sridhar.
Kolavecha Sridhar.
Yeah, the banana merchant that Lord Chaitanya would tease every day. And he just made such a little bit of income. Whatever he got, he'd spend half of it on the worship of the Ganga. But Lord Chaitanya would come as Nimai Pandit and say, you know, sell me that you're charging such a high price. Sell me for less. No, no, no. You know, and he kept telling him. And apparently, you could say, successful, this person has barely any income. His roof has got more holes than thatch. But when Lord Chaitanya revealed his divinity, he called for Sridhar. The intimate associates didn't even know who he was talking about. But when they found and brought him, then Lord Chaitanya said, I'm giving presents. I'm giving boons. What would you like? What would you like? You can have anything. You can have a kingdom. You can have your own planet. And he said, I just want that naughty Brahmana boy to come and tease me every day.
Yeah.
He said, see, you have the greatest wealth.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just thought of that.
Thanks for adding that. Hare Krishna. Pranga Govinda Prabhu?
Thank you. Very nice class. Very inspiring. So failure is not final, but see as like a bump. Keep going. Previous to that verse that you were talking, the famous verse, Karma Neva Adhikaraste. So that in that verse, what I understand that if I am a student, I must plan to succeed. I want to get the best mark, you know, 100% correct, everything. Maybe after I finish the exam, I will not worry, I should not worry what will be the result. But before that, I must prepare every day with expectation. Otherwise, if I know that, well, if I fail, it doesn't matter really, it's like, then where is the inspiration going to come?
It's explained that one should have a high hope, high goal. Because if the goal isn't high, if you think it doesn't really matter, then you'll never get around. But what here, karmanye vadikaraste, you have the right to perform your duty. The student, that's their right, you know, their duty. But you're not entitled to the fruits. That takes all the pressure off. That takes the result off. You're not entitled to the fruits. It's not your fruit. It's not your...
But isn't after the exam? But before the exam, I must prepare. Or should I say, well, you know, whatever result comes, it's okay.
Well, let's take it for an example in devotional service a little more. We could say, Krishna's my very dear friend. He's in my heart. He's protecting me. He's and therefore, you know, I'll chant my rounds, sometimes, you know, because he's in my heart. He knows that I'm sincere, and I'll, you know, but we need to make our endeavor all the time. He gives a recommendation, chants your rounds regularly, follow the four regulative principles, this and that, and he'll take care of us. Now, if someone isn't able to do that, whatever, it doesn't mean that Krishna is going to abandon us, but those that make that endeavor are going to reap, are going to endear themselves to Krishna also. So, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sharp enough in my brain to analyze your question specifically. How much do you endeavor and how much do you not be attached to the, you know? I don't know. What would you like to say to that?
I mean, you are answering very good. Very good. But
however, yes?
I would just think, like, for my sadhana, for my expectation, I should endeavor and really focus on it, attentively, sincerely. Of course, ultimately, when time comes, Krishna will reveal. And as you said it, way of Manigriba and Nalkuber, they become Snigdha Kanta and Madhukanta. It's a wonderful example. I never thought that way. But it's wonderful that there is no failure in spiritual path.
Mm.
And you reestablish with the sloka with Neha Vikramana Ashwasti Pratna. Yeah, those are very nice. Very nice.
So if you now think of different examples in the Bhagavatam, you know, you'll, on that idea of success or failure, you'll see it over and over and over, manifested over and over and over again. Gradually, they make it back. You know, even. Okay, well, I'm almost finished. Even in the Gita, when Krishna says, can you help me with this verse? For those that do this, I perpetually put them in the hellish conditions of life, birth after birth. He doesn't really mean that. They get into hellish conditions, they get into lower species of life for many, many births, but they always get a chance, always living in it, always gets a chance. Just takes a longer time.
But then if you can think of the Manigriba and Nalkubar, 36,000 is a long year?
No.
Oh, okay. But 36,000, I was analyzing, now Krishna reminded me, I did study on that they regretted. First, they acknowledged what mistake they did with Narad Muni. And he came, they did not receive. Instead, they stayed naked, whatever. But they acknowledged their mistake. And then they regretted. Then they repented. Then they became responsible that we should never, ever do this in future. Narad Muni cares for us because our father is a good friend of him. So they went through whole process. I guess it required 36,000 years to reform. That's why probably they had to. Of course, ultimately didn't just pop that they became a pure devotee. No, they regretted, repented, they became accountable, and they really took the responsibility, and then they, next life, of course, they went to higher planet, as you say.
Yeah, and just the same, just to reiterate that point, when you said 36,000 years is a long time, that's relative, you know, it's relative. We're looking here on the earth where 70 years is a long time. And it's nothing in the span. You know, we could say, oh, yeah, life is eternal. Life is eternal. But that concept of eternality is worth thinking about. Because in general, people like myself think of eternity from here forward. But it also means from there backwards, too, like Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, what would you like to add? Hold on.
Hare Krishna. Just add to whatever he was trying to say.
Yes.
While in the example of preparation for the examination, actually it is said, yogaha karmasu kausalam. So dexterity in action is yoga. That is the offering. So as far as an individual is concerned, he should try himself to be dexterous in whatever he is offering. The rest of it, that is when karmani eva adhikaraste comes in. Because you've done your duty dexterously, or you've tried, and you keep on trying until you know you have become dexterous in whatever you're doing.
Thank you. That's very kind of you for saying that. Can you pass the mic to the person behind you? We have one. Okay, one more comment, and then we're finished because we're over time. Sorry.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I think what I feel is that what worries me more, like what inflicts the most pain, is not that the circumstance in which I am in, like if I'm like
hold it close to your mouth.
Yeah. So like what worries me the most is not actually the circumstance which I would be in, but it's like, what if it is going to happen? The fear. So the fear is
the what if factor.
Yes, and that fear is like, even though after like attending this class, I'll go back home and for a few days I'll be like, yeah, I'll be motivated. But then again, that fear comes again, and mm-hmm. subconsciously it comes slowly. Yeah, like because I want to get into med school. I'm working hard. Yes, okay, it's okay. I won't get into med school. It's okay. But again, what if you don't get into med school?
It's a huge pressure. I agree. Yeah. So you're doing a great job at it. But now, in the meantime, that you're making your huge endeavor and you're trying very hard and you're very qualified, in the meantime, you also have to, which you're doing, but I'm just reminding you, keep hearing Krishna conscious philosophy. Because the what if factor can apply not only to med students, but to anything. In fact, there's a joke that I semi-remember about a lady who was saying, I just went through 10 real trials and I passed them all and they didn't happen and I haven't gotten out of bed yet. You know what I mean? What if my car breaks down? What if, what if I break my, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, what if, not you. What if somebody who's studying for med school doesn't make a test? You'll figure something out. Krishna will help you in some way. I can guarantee that. Krishna's help in some way. Something for your betterment will appear. And I don't know what that is. But just like the point that Pran Govinda Prabhu was making for Nala Kuvera and Manigriva having to practice for 30, or, you know, do their austerities for 36,000 years, it is a gradual process. You know, things might take time, but there's always hope down the road. Sorry, that's all I can say.
So basically, the only way to beat that fear is just to listen about Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna can beat that fear. Krishna. Fear personified is afraid of Krishna.
Yes.
Okay. I said one more comment, and that was the one, but now I'm making comment A, one comment more. Here. Thanks.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your class. Very beautiful. Another really simple thing is cultivating the mood of, with an understanding that Krishna's our best friend. If Krishna's our best friend, then everything is always happening for our benefit. Mm. And to really kind of really deeply understand that in every situation with a mood of gratitude. So if we cultivate that gratitude, then when reversals happen, to have the awareness or the consciousness that, Krishna, what is the silver lining? Asking, why is this situation good?
Yeah.
And being grateful that happened, knowing that Krishna will reveal why the situation is ultimately beneficial. Even in the moment, it seems like it's a reversal.
Thank you. And that just reminded me of one more thing. Like just any of the examples now in Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikit, he was a young, dutiful, prosperous king. He was a good ruler. He was doing great. And he got a little hungry, got a little angry, got a little frustrated, made a little offense, and got cursed to die. Karma camera, that's not fair. It's not fair. He didn't deserve to die for that offense. But what was the result? Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're really grateful, right? So again, don't judge it in the moment, the problem in the moment. It will be revealed for our own good. I'm going to end here, except I just have to make one more, I just want to make one little more disclaimer. If you'd like to hear a really good class on successful failure, which is where I got all this from, that's what I'm telling you. Keshava Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj. Just YouTube it. Successful failure. You'll get a better understanding. Okay? Thank you. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.